I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is August 8th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic. This is my email to Lori Higgins at the Illinois Family Institute in response to her attack on homosexual marriage on the website of The Friendly Atheist. My email began, Jesus preached the exact opposite of what you do. Try opening your Bible to the New Testament instead of spending so much time in the Old. And no, I am not gay, but unlike you, I am not infested with a foul-smelling superior attitude that allows me to hate others just because they have a different lifestyle. People like you make Christianity seem more like a religion of hate than a religion of love. Jesus would be so proud. Here is Lori Higgins' reply to my email. She begins, "It's difficult to take seriously the claim that you are concerned about love when you make this statement. I am not infested with a foul-smelling superior attitude. Lori, your refusal to take seriously my pointing out that you people are a foul-smelling nest of haters with superior attitudes does not mean that I am not concerned about love. It only means that you are unwilling to admit what is clearly obvious to anyone who is not part of your particular brand of Christianity." She said, "and have provided no evidence whatsoever that I preach hatred." Lori, how blind can you possibly be? Your very words are the evidence that you preach hatred, whether you will admit it or not. She said, "I certainly have never uttered words as despicable as you wrote me." Lori, the way you felt when you read the words that you found so despicable should give you an idea how your victims feel when you preach hatred against those who do not share your beliefs or lifestyle. Doesn't feel very good, does it? Lori said, "Moral propositions about behavior do not constitute hatred of persons." Lori, since the penalty for violating your moral propositions is death by stoning, I would say that it does. She said, "If you believe that moral disapproval of behavior constitutes hatred of persons, do you apply that principle consistently?" Lori, moral disapproval of, say, murder is justified, and one should hate murderers. You purposely lump homosexuals in with criminals in order to justify your hatred of them. And let's be honest, you are not basing your feelings on moral propositions. You are basing your feelings on your interpretation of the Bible. We both know that that is the only place your moral propositions come from. Modern Christians understand that much of the Bible is symbolic and in the form of parables. Fundamentalists like yourself are incapable of displaying the mental acuity necessary to distinguish between sound moral advice, such as thou shalt not kill, and fairy tales. Lori continues, "Do you hate everyone whose beliefs you disagree with and whose behavior choices you find morally flawed?" Lori, you have just described yourself. "Since I am heterosexual, it is obvious that I do not hate those, like homosexuals, whose beliefs I disagree with, but your website makes it clear that you do. It is amazing how blind you fundamentalists are to your own flaws. You don't even realize it when you are projecting your own faults onto others, as your question proves." She continues, "Clearly you think my beliefs and behavioral choices are flawed. Lori, you are entitled to hold any beliefs you choose, no matter how vile. It is the actions you take against others based on those beliefs that is creating the problem." Lori says, "I guess that means you hate me." Well, Lori, if I knew you better, you would probably be right. I'm guessing your hatred of gays is only matched by your hatred of atheists, adulterers, Sabbath violators, and non-Christian believers. She said, "I would argue that the tone in your email was decidedly superior. Lori, when dealing with people who feel a divine right to hate their fellow humans, I would have to say that superior would be an understatement." Lori continues, "I find that most people, myself included, are perfectly capable of loving those whose beliefs and actions we disagree with. And Lori, nothing supports that claim quite as much as the love you display for gay people. She said, in fact, I do it all the time. Lori, but you can't seem to bring yourself to do it in this case, can you? What is it anyway with you people and honesty? The day I hear a fundamentalist make an honest statement will be the day I see them wiggling around on the floor, gasping for air like Superman in the presence of kryptonite. Lori said, Jesus loved all. Well, Lori, somehow you people seem to have missed that part when interpreting the Bible. She continues, and called all sinners to repentance. Lori, murder is a sin and needs repentance. Homosexuality is only considered a sin by religious fanatics who believe that their literal interpretation of the Bible is the only possible interpretation. Most of those homosexuals you label as sinners are God-fearing Bible believers. Unlike you, they are able to sort out good advice from children's stories. But you are quite the hypocrite, aren't you? You claim to interpret Scripture literally, but you are quick to redefine Scripture as anyone else when you need it to mean something else. I'm sure you don't interpret Leviticus 26:29 literally. I'm sure you have a convenient excuse for reinterpreting that verse. Yeah, I'm sure it's just out of context, which makes me wonder, in what context is it okay to eat your children? You hypocrites make me sick. You are no different than the believers you despise. You are just less honest about it. Lori said, Jesus loved all. Lori, he did not love all. Refer to Luke 19, verse 27. But I'm sure you have an excuse ready for that one too. Once it is put into proper context and the appropriate words are redefined. It's funny how you fundamentalists trumpet your literal interpretations until you need them to not be literal. Then you mangle Scripture with embarrassing rationalizations to suit your needs just like everyone else. To paraphrase Jesus, remove the log in your own eye before complaining about the mote in your brother's. Lori continues, but did not affirm all feelings or all behaviors. Lori, that is true. He did not affirm homosexual behavior, but he had no difficulty affirming murder, as pointed out in Luke above. She said, he affirmed that marriage was an institution composed of one man and one woman. Lori, earlier you asked for evidence. Now it's my turn. Show me one verse in the Bible where it says that. And while you are desperately searching for the evidence that exists nowhere in your Bible, I can give you a list a mile long where God supports polygamy, incest, and condones practices that you apparently consider moral, such as the marriage of a woman to her rapist. You can refer to Deuteronomy 22, verses 25 through 29. Maybe you should pass this email along to someone in your organization trained to handle these biblical embarrassments. Obviously, you are not. She continues, and he affirmed the entirety of the moral laws as distinct from the holiness codes of the Old Testament. Lori, I've seen your moral laws and holiness codes, and I have seen the effects they have had on our civilization over the past 2,000 years. I have found no body of law or codes that endorses slavery, mass murder, eating your own children, or executing people for minor rule infractions. You people have the most disgusting set of moral values ever passed down to human beings. But take heart, despite not seeing the evil in the biblically approved activities I just mentioned, you managed to determine that homosexuality is a sin. I've owned pets that had more common sense than your entire organization. Lori continues, Jesus also said that the world will hate followers of him because the world hated him first. Lori, after reading his autobiography and the countless confessions of mass murder and other horrible activities he promoted, can you blame them? She said, Jesus said he came not to bring peace but a sword that will divide. Lori, that is the one biblical prophecy that actually did come true. Unfortunately, it is still coming true. Every single day in every part of the world where fundamentalism exists. Lori said, if homosexual acts are immoral, it is a terrible act to tell people otherwise. Well, Lori, that is the point of this whole debate. If. She concludes, sincerely, Lori Higgins, Director of the Division of School Advocacy, Illinois Family Institute. And I replied, Neo, just a guy. Now Lori responds to my email. What I learned from your email is that you are endlessly inventive. Lori, inventive would describe the ways in which you are able to twist scripture to mean anything you need it to mean. For example, to avoid the obvious contradiction that Adam did not die on the day he ate the fruit, as God stated, you people have manufactured a rationalization where the word die is redefined to mean spiritual death. How desperate do you have to be to stoop to such embarrassing post hoc excuses to delude yourselves into believing that Scripture doesn't contain any contradictions? By the way, the Muslims make the same claim about their Quran as you do about the Bible. Inerrant. Like the Bible, the Quran contradicts itself every time it starts a new verse. You dismiss their God as imaginary. Well, guess what? They do the same thing to your God. And they have exactly as much proof as you do. Zero. Lori said, and presumptuous. You presume to know my theological orientation without any evidence whatsoever. Lori, your words are the evidence which exposes your theological orientation. Lori said, I am neither a literalist nor a fundamentalist. Lori, denial is not a good sign. She continues, I have to wonder if you even know what the terms mean. Lori, I have already explained those terms, but I will do it one more time, so pay attention. Fundamentalism in religion, the tendency to reduce a religion to its most fundamental tenets based on strict interpretation of core texts. Literalism is taking the meaning directly from the words without attempting to add one's own interpretation. This works great in science, but it is impossible in religion because of the insane claims made in Scripture, like the sun stopping in the sky and taking a day-long nap. Lori said, in addition, I've engaged in very little discussion of my theological views other than views on my adherence to utterly orthodox theological views on homosexuality. Lori, your orthodox theological views on homosexuality are exactly the point of this exchange. She continues, that are shared by Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Baptists, many Presbyterians, many Anglicans, many Episcopalians, many Lutherans, and even Orthodox Jews and Muslims, the vast majority of whom are neither literalists nor fundamentalists. Lori, if you can find someone who knows where to find a book on logic, and I understand how difficult that may be in your circle of friends, see if you can get them to look up Appeal to Majority. It is a logical fallacy that occurs when one attempts to support a bankrupt argument by claiming that the mere fact that most people believe it makes it true. Galileo pretty much proved how wrong that idea was. But 400 years later and you are still using that kind of thinking to support your arguments. How utterly pathetic. What you didn't say was that many Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Baptists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Episcopalians, Lutherans, and even Orthodox Jews and Muslims don't share your hate. They believe in a Jesus or Allah who loves everyone, who forgives everyone, who doesn't tell his followers to be judgmental assholes, looking down their prim little Christian noses at, how do you loving disciples of Christ refer to gays? Oh yeah, abominations. Before you ask me if I understand the meaning of the word abomination, here's the definition. The feeling of extreme disgust and hatred, abhorrence, detestation, loathing. So by the words used in your own scriptures, you are screwed. You can redefine words all day long, but unfortunately for you, Millions of Bibles are floating around calling gays abominations. So unless you want to claim that God is wrong about gays, then it is clear that your hatred for these people is based on your own inerrant holy scriptures. So stop trying to cover up your hatred by claiming you love them, when every action your hate-filled organization takes proves otherwise. Lori said, "You responded to my assertion that moral disapproval of behavior does not constitute hatred of persons by introducing one moral claim, murder is wrong, as evidence that moral disapproval of behavior should translate into hatred of persons. Even that extreme example is arguable." Lori, you just gave a perfect example of how sick you people really are. You find homosexuals who hurt no one disgusting abominations, but you find hatred of murderers arguable? With reasoning skills that feeble, why even have a brain? Why not just donate it to science and enjoy the breeze? Lori continues, "But the more important issue is you ignored a whole universe of moral claims, such as that polyamory is immoral." Polyamory is immoral, but murder is arguable? Keep going. I can't wait to see what comes out of your mouth next. And what comes out of her mouth next is, "Or selfishness is immoral." Lori, another definition. Selfishness, the quality of being selfish, the condition of habitually putting one's own interests before those of others. There are millions of heterosexuals like Hemant Mehta, myself, and others who put the rights of gays before our own personal beliefs. Selfishness seems more appropriate to your organization, which puts its beliefs above the rights of those with whom you disagree. Maybe at your next meeting you could suggest a more accurate name for your group. Instead of the IFI, try something like the IFIB, the Illinois Family Institute of Bigotry. Hey, that name would go great with Americans for Truth, which is another of the great misnomers of our age. Lori continues, "No one ever charges those who assert that polyamory is immoral with hating polyamorous." Lori, here in modern America, we have replaced your biblical laws with modern civil laws. We have taken away your slaves by force. We have stopped you from burning witches at the stake. We have stopped you from stoning to death misdemeanants. We have removed your laws against violating the Sabbath and making graven images. We have removed your commandment not to worship other gods by creating a nation that allows freedom of religion. But while God approved all the things I just listed, your big concern is polyamory? No wonder you people hope the rapture is near. Our modern world must be a hell on earth for you guys. The sad thing is that you can't even see just how sick you people are. You are so terrified by the threats in the Bible that your brains have been paralyzed with fear and are incapable of reasoning. Lori continues, "What I did appreciate was your honesty in admitting that you hold a superior attitude and that you would likely hate me if you knew me better." Lori, your sarcasm fails to take into account the fact that my attitude is no more superior than yours. The difference is that I back up mine with facts. You back up yours with ancient holy scriptures, which to you are facts. There are plenty of people in this world truly worthy of hate. Since I don't need to add another, I hope, as fervently as you do, that I never have the misfortune of knowing you better. Lori continues, "I find that many who hold your views are ceaselessly hypocritical and disingenuous about their tolerance, self-righteousness, and hatred, all the while chastising others for those qualities." Lori, once again, you are projecting your own faults onto others. Since you cannot defend yourself against the accusations of intolerance, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, and hatred, because they are true, your only alternative is to throw the accusation back at others in the hope that it will distract them from seeing the truth. Unfortunately, your tactic works very well on other irrationals, but it fails completely with people trained in critical thinking skills who can see exactly what you are doing and why you are doing it. Lori continues, Despite your presumptuousness in asserting you know my heart and your inventiveness in redefining hate, I do not feel hate or act in hateful ways. Lori, I hope I am never able to understand how such hate-filled minds can justify treating other humans the way you people do based on your belief in ancient ramblings of a bunch of Middle Eastern goat herders. And redefining, you are the one who calls hate love. You couldn't possibly be as ignorant as you are pretending to be. The only possible explanation for why you accuse me of what you are guilty of is that you cannot defend your position because the accusation of redefining words is true. So your only option is distraction by throwing the accusation back. Like I said earlier, that tactic only works on feebles. Lori said, I wish you all that's good and true and beautiful. Lori, yet another lie. You couldn't be honest if your life depended on it. But then, if you were an honest Christian, you wouldn't be a member of a hate-mongering organization. She concludes, sincerely, Lori, Director of the Division of School Advocacy, Illinois Family Institute. I conclude with, Neo, still just a guy. And make sure you reply today or Monday. You know what God said should be done to those who work on the Sabbath. Unless the Jews are right and today is the Sabbath, in which case you are breaking one of the Ten Commandments, since you are writing in your capacity as director, as indicated above. No problem. You can just redefine the word work and Jesus will never know. Lori responds again. Neo, I have to leave very shortly, so I don't have time to respond to all your logical errors, but I have time for a couple. Lori, ghost worshippers accusing rationalists of committing logical errors is like being accused of animal cruelty by Michael Vick. Every religious belief that you hold defies logic, from the instantaneous creation of humans out of magic mud to the resurrection of a Jewish carpenter after 3 days of decomposition. For you to attempt to lecture anyone on logic would make about as much sense as Oprah Winfrey trying to explain brain surgery to a neurosurgeon. Lori continues, First, I did not commit the logical fallacy of appeal to the majority because I wasn't making an argument about the correctness of my position. Well, Lori, you may be right because there is no correctness to your position. Hatred of gay people is incorrect under any circumstances. But hatred of them based on the writings of ignorant ancient shepherds whose idea of moral integrity included slavery and genocide is not only illogical, but even more ignorant than the simpletons who wrote that trash. And just because you believe them, because they claim that an invisible ghost was telling them what to write down, doesn't mean that it is true. It only means that you believe it is true. Lori continues, I was stating a fact to support my assertion that my beliefs are the same as these other faith traditions, most of which are never described as fundamentalist. Lori, but what you left out when you stated that fact was that not everyone in those faith traditions share your hate and bigotry. It is not the faiths themselves that are described as fundamentalist. It is certain sects within each faith that can be described as fundamentalist. This should not be a new concept to you since you are a member of one of those fundamentalist sects. Modern progressive Christians do not spread hate, nor do they attack their fellow Americans because they have a different sexual lifestyle. Maybe you need to reread the New Testament and pay special attention to the parts shown in the red font. The Christianity practiced by modern Christians who follow the teachings of Jesus doesn't even remotely resemble the hatred evident in your Old Testament style of Christianity. An atheist having to explain how to be a Christian to a Christian. How embarrassing is that? Lori continues, It's interesting that when I denied being either a fundamentalist or a literalist, you mocked me for my denial. Then later in your email, you mocked me for not attempting denial. Lori, I was trying to be polite. I called it denial to avoid calling it what it really was, a lie. Lori continues, Finally, I wasn't making the argument that the immorality of murder is arguable. I was suggesting that some would find your absolutist assertion that we should hate murderers to be an arguable assertion. But Lori, you don't find the hatred of gay people an arguable assertion. In fact, your organization and others like that misnamed hate group, Americans for Truth, devote themselves, including time and resources, to spreading that hate by attacking gay people and even working on weekends trying to deny rights to them that you yourselves enjoy. Obviously, all men were created equal only applies to those you declare to be equal. 150 years ago, Americans forced you to recognize Africans as equal, after a civil war. And now millions of us, Christians included, are working to include gay people as equals. You lost the Civil War and your slaves. Who knows? Maybe you'll have better luck this time. You believe the Bible gives you divine approval to stick your runny little nasal passages into other people's sex lives and tell them how and with whom they can make love. It's none of your business what other people do in the bedroom, unless someone is being forced to participate against their will. And even then, it is a case for the police, not for you. That is why everyone refers to you fundamentalists as the American Taliban. Muslims have religious police who travel from house to house to enforce the Quran. If you get the Christian nation you so desperately seek, those knocks on the door won't be far behind. With all the problems in our world, like starvation, natural disasters, and war, your group has concluded that the best way to help society is by devoting itself to dictating sexual behavior to people both inside and outside of your faith. If you don't want to be gay, then stay straight. But you don't have the right to tell others that they must live by your rules, at least not yet, and not in America. Try visiting a Unitarian or Humanist church sometime. Many of those people are Christians. True, many of them worship an invisible ghost like you do, but at least he is not the grotesque, brutal, murdering ghost that you worship. You know, the guy who is going to torture billions of people for eternity. That guy. Okay, so maybe that was a bad idea. As soon as you realize that they don't hate anyone, you would lose all interest in ever going back. And Lori concludes, I'm out the door, so take care. Lori, out the door? If I get my way, every single one of you hate-filled fundamentalist pieces of self-righteous crapheads will be ushered into extinction. No, I am not talking about the violence with which you have solved all your problems over the past 2,000 years. I'm talking about civilizing you people into modern religious believers who practice the positive teachings of Jesus. We've taken away your slaves in the Bible Belt and stopped you from burning people at the stake, so there has been progress. Well, okay, you people are still pulling that crap in Africa, so there is still a lot of work to be done against the Christian violence and hate that is so rampant on our planet. But we're working on it. To see an example of biblically justified Christian love in the 21st century caught on tape, go to friendlyatheist.com/2009/04/19/ burned at the stake after being accused of witchcraft, and put a hyphen between every word. They are using your Bible to justify these horrible crimes, crimes that were only recently committed in Europe and here in the United States until only a few hundred years ago. That is not ancient history. That is recent history. While you're on the internet, also Google Africa witch children, and you will see more video of Christian love. These are not Hindu problems, nor Buddhist, nor atheist. These are your problems. Instead of spending your weekends focusing on how to deny gay people the rights enjoyed by all other Americans, why don't you pull yourself out of that pit of hate for just a few hours and brainstorm about actually doing something worthwhile in this brutal world? A world made infinitely more brutal by the violent, inhuman, superstitious beliefs of fundamentalists. Lori did not respond to that email. Instead, they called in the big gun, Kathy Valente, the director of operations. She begins, I'm aware that Lori has sent you a reply. You can't take the Old Testament and leave out the New Testament and vice versa. Kathy, I never said that you could. Kathy says, Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, and 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, are very clear that homosexuality is a sin. Kathy, I'll respond to that in a moment when we get to the scripture you sent me in Romans. Kathy said, they are both in the New Testament. Thanks, Kathy. That saved me hours of time. And then Kathy decided that her best weapon is to quote scripture. And her choice of scripture was Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. The verses begin, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Well, if God made it plain to men, why are there hundreds of different Christian denominations? Shouldn't there be just one? Kathy, maybe it's not as plain as you think it is. The scripture continues, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Well, Kathy, it seems to me like the American Indians had a pretty good excuse. If it is so clearly seen, why do almost a billion Hindus clearly see thousands of gods, but among all of them, not your God? They included every possible god they could think of. They even have one with an elephant head, and they still missed yours. If it is so clearly seen, why do over a billion Muslims see Allah instead of your God? I know they can't be the same guy because during the Crusades they fought on opposite sides. And by the way, according to the second law of thermodynamics, there is no eternal power. The scripture continues, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Kathy, while you were cherry-picking these verses to provide divine support for your hatred of homosexuals, you should have realized that Paul's accusation, they became fools, made him a candidate for the big barbecue himself by violating Matthew 5:22. As for which of those verses should take precedence, yours came from Paul. The other is in red font. Hint, I would go with the red. Her scripture continues, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Kathy, here Paul is referring to pagans and heathens. They, like you, also worshipped invisible ghosts, represented by statues, etc. So far, God seems okay with non-believers. Now continuing with the scripture. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Kathy, I hope you're not hanging your anti-homosexual hopes on that verse. It couldn't be any vaguer. It could simply refer to unmarried sex, which Christians engage in just as often as everyone else. But because of all their guilt-ridden hang-ups, they just aren't as good at it. The scripture goes on, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Well, Kathy, if you interchange the words truth and lie, I'll sign. The scripture continues, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Well, Kathy, you can't blame that one on atheists. Paul is talking about religious believers. The scripture goes on, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Kathy, lust is only shameful after a premature ejaculation, which, by the way, can usually be fixed with practice. The scripture goes on, even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Kathy, so now dildos are out too? As a woman, you especially should be aware of their value in cases like the one mentioned in the previous comment about premature ejaculation. The scripture goes on, in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Kathy, Paul is the most famous, misogynist in all of religion. I've got $50 in an original 1940s slinky toy that says Paul was so gay they had to bury his ashes in a fruit jar. The scripture continues, "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless." Paul, two words, Prozac and Viagra. You'll be almost normal in no time. The scripture concludes, "Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." Kathy, so you people have told us how much love you have for gays, and yet here in your own scriptures is the truth about what you really believe should be done to them. Our modern laws, which thankfully have overruled your barbaric commandments and rules, are the only thing standing between these people and a burning stake. Or is it a pile of stones? Or a bloodstained sword? It's odd how God never saw gunpowder coming. Or for that matter, anything except what could have been known by someone writing in the first century. Isn't that just the strangest little coincidence? And then Kathy decides to throw in one more quote from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Some people just don't know when to quit. It begins, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Well, considering the people that I would find there, I'll pass. Corinthians continues, "Do not be deceived." Kathy, that's rich coming from a guy, Paul, who ran around telling everyone that if they didn't believe him, that an invisible ghost would torture them forever after they died. The scripture continues, "Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Kathy, just curious, why did you remove masturbators from the list? The King James Version includes them, but your version doesn't. Who was given the power to change God's word, and why? And which version is the one that God inspired? Does this now mean that choking the chicken is legal? And what about all the people who have been punished for masturbating? Do you just tell their descendants, "Oh, sorry about bashing your ancestors' brains in with rocks. It was just a little misunderstanding with Scripture, but we've got all that straightened out now." And the Scripture continues, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Kathy, and now they can become even bigger jerks than they were before. They can join the priesthood and meet exciting young boys with tight, firm buttocks. They can go on tour as a televangelist and swindle poor, desperate people out of what little money they have saved up in return for empty promises. They can roll around on the floor and pretend they are speaking in alien dialects and have epilepsy. They can go on missions to foreign countries, tell people what awful sinners they are and that they deserve to fry forever in hell, and then convince those people to give them 10% of what they make every week, money which most of them need to feed their families. And they can join organizations to spread hate and work to deprive people of their civil rights. I didn't want you to think I forgot about you. Signed, Kathy Valente, Director of Operations, Illinois Family Institute. You know, Kathy, that's an interesting name your organization has. I, too, have been known to quote a little scripture now and then. Let's see what Jesus had to say about families in his inspired word. This from Matthew 10, verses 35 through 36. "For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Kathy, such an inspiring role model for family cohesion, wouldn't you agree? Of course you would. You people have been dealing with those embarrassing verses for years, and you have a whole slew of rationalizations, excuses, and out-of-context defenses just waiting to throw back at anyone who notices that maybe Jesus wasn't the best example upon which to base familial relations. But Jesus is a big improvement over his dad. Leviticus 26:29, "And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughter shall ye eat." Kathy, isn't that verse just the most precious thing? Even Jeffrey Dahmer, the infamous Milwaukee cannibal, restricted his diet to strangers. Even he didn't stoop to the barbaric, disgusting morals promoted by the God that you worship. But I'm sure we have a clever little excuse just waiting to explain away the unexplainable, don't we? Kathy adds a P.S., "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Kathy, as long as you can convince people to avoid thinking at all costs, as you have just said, and just accept everything you tell them to believe, you will continue to control the masses. But you may have noticed that over the centuries, more people are finding the courage to think, and they are leaning on their own understanding. The word atheist didn't even exist a few hundred years ago, because there were none. Now there are millions of us, and we live free of the fear of your invisible ghost. His death threats only work on believers. And Kathy adds, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Kathy, I get it. Straight. You snuck in one last jab at gay people. You must see them in your sleep. They don't bother me at all. In fact, I find you people far more detestable than you find them. I would like to point out that neither of the quotations you referred to came from Jesus, but from that misogynistic little piece of maggot pus who belonged in the fetal position in the corner of a padded room. As a woman, you should have no trouble locating lots of wonderful things that Paul had to say about you. I hope that when you go to church, you remember to keep your damn mouth shut. Those are not my words. Those are Paul's. Why any woman would quote Paul is beyond comprehension. I feel the same confusion when trying to figure out how gays and blacks can be Christians considering what is in the Bible. It must be the hell thing. And now we move to the science segment. Today, the butterfly effect in the brain makes the brain intrinsically unreliable. Next time your brain plays tricks on you, you have an excuse, according to new research by UCL scientists published June 30th in the journal Nature. The brain is intrinsically unreliable. This may not seem surprising to most of us, but it has puzzled neuroscientists for decades. Given that the brain is the most powerful computing device known, how can it perform so well even though the behavior of its circuits is variable? A long-standing hypothesis is that the brain circuitry actually is reliable, and the apparently high variability is because your brain is engaged in many tasks simultaneously which affect each other. It is this hypothesis that the researchers at UCL tested directly. The team, a collaboration between experimentalists at the Wolfson Institute for Biomedical Research and a theorist, Peter Latham, at the Gatsby Computational Neuroscience Unit, took inspiration from the celebrated butterfly effect, from the fact that the flap of a butterfly's wings in Brazil could set off a tornado in Texas. The fact? Continuing, their idea was to introduce a small perturbation into the brain, the neural equivalent of butterfly wings, and ask what would happen to the activity in the circuit. Would the perturbation grow and have a knock-on effect, thus affecting the rest of the brain, or immediately die out? It turned out to have a huge knock-on effect. The perturbation was a single extra spike, or nerve impulse, introduced to a single neuron in the brain of a rat. That single extra spike caused about 30 new extra spikes in nearby neurons in the brain, most of which caused another 30 extra spikes, and so on. This may not seem like much, given that the brain produces millions of spikes every second. However, the researchers estimated that eventually that one extra spike affected millions of neurons in the brain. Lead author Dr. Mickey London of the Wolfson Institute said, This result indicates that the variability we see in the brain may actually be due to noise and represents a fundamental feature of normal brain function. This rapid amplification of spikes means that the brain is extremely noisy, much, much noisier than computers. Nevertheless, the brain can perform very complicated tasks with enormous speed and accuracy, far faster and more accurately than the most powerful computer ever built, and likely to be built in the foreseeable future. The UCL researchers suggest that for the brain to perform so well in the face of high levels of noise, it must be using a strategy called a rate code. In a rate code, neurons consider the activity of an ensemble of many neurons and ignore the individual variability, or noise, produced by each of them. So now we know that the brain is truly noisy, but we still don't know why. The UCL researchers suggest that one possibility is that it's the price the brain pays for high connectivity among neurons. Each neuron connects to about 10,000 others, resulting in over 8 million kilometers of wiring in the human brain. Presumably, that high connectivity is at least in part responsible for the brain's computational power. However, as the research shows, the higher connectivity, the noisier the brain. Therefore, while noise may not be a useful feature, it is at least a byproduct of a useful feature. And now the arena travels abroad. Today we go to the Maldives. A man is attacked and threatened with death for expressing freedom of conscience. You can find the video of this incident at www.atheistmedia.com/2010/06/MaldivianAtheistConfrontsMuslim.html and put a hyphen between each of the words. The article begins, "In the Muslim nation of Maldives, a man stunned an audience during the questions and answers period in a lecture given by an Islamic cleric by stating he had chosen freedom of conscience not to follow Islam. The man, Mohammed Nazim, was promptly attacked, taken into custody, and has been threatened with death and beheading for choosing his freedom of conscience. Maldives media are reporting that it is the first time in many hundreds of years that a Maldivian has publicly renounced Islam. My comment, I think we can be sure that it will probably be another few centuries before anyone dares to try this again." The article continues, "The Maldives Constitution mandates that all citizens of Maldives must be Muslims." My comment, I want to live there. What more could anyone possibly ask for? The article continues, "A December 2009 study showed the Maldives, with a 99% literacy rate, to be in the top 5% of the worst nations for religious freedom." My comment, top 5%? Who could possibly be worse? The article continues, "It is a nation that has been building its criminal law based on Sharia law and whose parliament bans non-Islamic houses of worship. There have been repeated reports of the Maldives government publicly whipping women. The Maldives is in the bottom rankings of nations with a global gender gap. The Maldives is also a nation that on May 13, 2010, was elected to be part of the United Nations Human Rights Council. The Haveru newspaper reported that Mohammed Nazim came up to ask a question of Islamic cleric Zakir Naik, stating, I am a Maldivian. I am still struggling to believe in religion. That is why I just came to the front of this row. I was born a Maldivian. My parents taught me the religion of Islam. They are good practitioners, actually. I read a lot of books. I have read the translation of the Quran, yet I still do not believe in a religion. So what do you say about my verdict in Islam? Islamic cleric Zakir Naik asked, are you a Muslim? And Mohammed Nazim replied, I am not. Zakir has a long history of calling for the death penalty for apostates in both Muslim majority nations and in other parts of the world. The newspaper reported that Zakir responded by stating, according to prophetic traditions, every child is born a Muslim, and that a Muslim is one who submits his or her will to God. In Islam, the death penalty should not necessarily be evoked on every person who leaves Islam, but to those who propagate the non-Islamic faith and speak against Islam. The newspaper report states that his question sparked comments of hatred from the angry crowd of around 11,000, with many calling to kill him and attack him, while Zakir was answering the question. Several people rushed towards Nazim, who was sitting at the back row after moving away from the microphone. Police, however, came between Nazim and the crowd and escorted him into custody. The newspaper report also stated that a crowd gathered outside the police station and demanded that Muhammad Nazim be handed over to the crowd. The newspaper report stated that they shouted anti-atheism slogans and called for Nazim's beheading. My comment: to call these subhumans animals would be to insult animals. These zombies are far lower on the tree of life than animals. Even amoebas would have to look down to find these creatures. And chanting slogans? Isn't that always the surest way to spot idiots? And he didn't criticize Islam. He simply said he wasn't convinced from his reading that it was true. And for that, these subhumans determined that that was enough reason to remove his head. This is what the religion has done to them. It has turned them into bloodthirsty, brain-dead zombies demanding to cut off a man's head. No, this wasn't a story from 1,000 years ago. It was this year. Imagine yourself in New York. Imagine yourself at a stadium revival questioning whether or not Christianity was true. Then imagine having people surround you and demand you be killed by beheading. For this man in the Maldives, he didn't have to imagine. That was reality. The article continues. In a separate report, the newspaper stated that Maldives Islamic Ministry would arrange for religious counseling for Muhammad Nazim while he is in custody. Another report by the newspaper stated that Muhammad Ibrahim Wahid, a defense lawyer, said Nazim must first be counseled, giving him the chance to repent before considering capital punishment. First, he should be counseled. If he does not take the advice and repent, the penalty stated in Sharia should be evoked on him. My comment: there is absolutely nothing else you need to know about Sharia law. If this story isn't clear enough for you, then nothing is. You might as well go sleep in caskets with the rest of the zombies. The article continues. According to Sharia, the punishment for apostasy is death. Wahid further argued that Nazim could be charged under the Religious Unity Act for disrupting the religious unity of the country. The Maldives newspaper Minivan News reports that a Maldives Islamic group, the Islamic Foundation, has called for self-declared apostate Muhammad Nazim to be stripped of his citizenship and sentenced to death if he does not repent and return to Islam. My comment: this is what Sharia law is offering you. You must decide if you will submit or fight. And you will have to decide, as Islam is spreading faster than any other religion in the world. This story makes it pretty clear what the secret of their success is. The article says, according to the Constitution of the Maldives, the judges are independent and subject only to the Constitution and the law. My comment: somehow, after reading this story, I have a hard time believing that they are independent. The article continues. The speaker at the Maldives event that Muhammad Nazim attended, Zakir Naik, has a long history of calling for violence against those who choose their universal human right of freedom of conscience to leave Islam. Religious supremacist Zakir has repeatedly called for denying human beings their universal human rights of freedom and conscience, calling those who leave Islam traitors. The London Times has quoted Zakir as stating that people who change their religion should face the death penalty. My comment: in a rational world, this man Zakir would be getting the psychiatric counseling he so desperately needs. But a rational world is about as close to Earth as the nearest star. And that is light years away. The article continues. In a widely broadcast video, Zakir has called for the death penalty for those who leave Islam and promote another religion as apostates. In the broadcast, Zakir states, if a Muslim becomes a non-Muslim and propagates their new religion, then it is as good as treason. There is a death penalty in Islam for such a person. In many countries, the punishment for treason is also death. If an army general discloses his army's secrets to another country, then there is a death penalty or life imprisonment for such a person, according to the laws of most countries. My comment. Finally, a touch of honesty. Zakir is equating his version of Islam to an army, which is far closer to the truth than what they often try to portray. A similar situation exists here in America, where progressive Christians are nothing like the evangelicals that plague our nation like a gigantic nest of roaches. The article continues, in the broadcast, Zakir also states that the death penalty for leaving Islam, apostasy, should also apply to non-Muslim countries. My comment, that's beautiful reasoning. He not only feels that they have the right to inflict barbaric, brutal laws on their own people, but on everyone else as well. A mind like his could only have been fished out of a cesspool. The article continues, Zakir also challenges other Islamic scholars who believe in the death penalty for apostates to extend such defiance of religious freedom, not just to Muslim-majority nations, but to the entire world. Zakir states, if these scholars are really righteous people, then they must welcome their own principle of death for apostates in the non-Muslim countries as well. My comment, so Zakir's definition of righteous includes only those people willing to cut off the heads of anyone who refuses to tremble before their invisible ghost in any country. The article continues, Zakir has also reportedly stated that women must cover themselves and reject revealing Western dress, or they are susceptible to rape. My comment, what Zakir really means is that they deserve to be raped. What is it with religious zealots and honesty? They treat it as though it were kryptonite. The article continues, Zakir is infamously known for his defense of Osama bin Laden and stating that every Muslim should be a terrorist. My comment, what happened to the religion of peace? Where did that religion go? It was here just a moment ago. The article concludes, Zakir has recently been given permission to give a tour and speak on his interpretation of Islam throughout the United Kingdom. My final comment, Ku Klux Klan speakers harbor less hate than this guy, but I agree that both the Klan and Zakir should be allowed to speak. That is the best way for rational people to wake up to the horrors and evil that walk among us. Evil that always seems to come draped in either the flag or religion. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Richard Feynman, born 1918, died 1988 at the age of 69. Feynman was an American physicist known for his work in the path integral formulation of quantum mechanics, the theory of quantum electrodynamics, and the physics of the superfluidity of supercool liquid helium, as well as in particle physics. He is the one who proposed the parton model. For his contributions to the development of quantum electrodynamics, Feynman, jointly with Julian Schwinger and Sin-Itiro Tomonaga, received the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1965. Feynman developed a widely used pictorial representation scheme for the mathematical expressions governing the behavior of subatomic particles, which later became known as Feynman diagrams. During his lifetime, Feynman became one of the best-known scientists in the world. He assisted in the development of the atomic bomb and was a member of the panel that investigated the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. In addition to his work in theoretical physics, Feynman has been credited with pioneering the field of quantum computing and introducing the concept of nanotechnology. He was regarded as an eccentric and a free spirit. He studied Mayan hieroglyphs. He was a prankster, juggler, safecracker, bongo player, and proud amateur painter. And now for the quotes from Richard Feynman. The first quote, you see, I can live with doubt and uncertainty and not knowing. I think it's much more interesting to live not knowing than to have answers that might be wrong. I have approximate answers and possible beliefs and different degrees of certainty about different things, but I'm not absolutely sure about anything, and many things I don't know anything about. such as whether it means anything to ask, why are we here? But I don't have to have an answer. I don't feel frightened by not knowing things. And now for the second and final quote from Richard Feynman. If you think you understand quantum theory, you don't understand quantum theory.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.